Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open the eyes of our understanding as we together get into your word. We love you, Jesus, and thank you for continuing the good work you began in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The imperative of private prayer, private meaning you and God alone, when Jesus was on the earth. We read in Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day. In other words, Jesus rose up plenty of time before the sun began to come up. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. So Jesus separated himself each and every morning, we can conclude here, in a solitary place, a place where no one else was except him and his Father. Notice he went out, he separated himself, he intentionally and deliberately got away from the ears and eyes of every other human being on the planet, and departed into a solitary place. The word solitary means uninhabited. Now, I want to interrupt myself here for a minute and encourage you to drink of this wisdom that we see in the life of our Savior, who is now seated again at the right hand of the Father, having accomplished redemption perfectly on the cross and being buried and raised again from the dead. And now, according to the book of Hebrews, Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for each of us. And that would include leading us by His Holy Spirit to study and to obey His word. There's so much noise going on around us in this final day, as we see in Matthew 24 and Luke 21, etc., that would be the case, with iniquity abounding, advertised and vying for our attention from any direction in this late hour before our Lord returns. So we must take heed as disciples of Christ to this wisdom of our Lord, who got up early and he put himself in a place that's uninhabited. He walked, apparently, and departed from where all other men and women were so that he could commune in private with his Father. Again, solitary simply means an uninhabited place. And if we want to assess our true spiritual state with God, we need only to look to our prayer life, or lack thereof. If you show me a man, show me his prayer life, and I will show you who he is. If I look at my prayer life, or lack thereof, I can see exactly who I am, because in its basic form, prayer is simply communing with God, the Father, with Christ at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, book of Hebrews, coming before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. And notice it's the throne of grace now, but later, if neglected, it will become the throne of his judgment upon us. We not only receive mercy for our sins, but we receive grace to obey God, to be corrected, to please our Lord. And that would be Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. So the measure of our true spiritual state can be not in our public preaching, but in our private prayer, in the life we have with the Lord intimately alone. That's what Jesus taught, as he said in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, when you pray, this is the most important aspect of prayer and praying in our lives, is private prayer, not public prayer. Public prayer will only be as powerful as our private prayer is. That would be our communion with the Lord. We can be saying all kinds of amazing words and things, and even scripture, in public, and not have a foundational depth of private intimacy and prayer with the Lord.
It seems important to be aware of our prayers that we can many times just throw up, while they have no congruence with our personal life and the way we're living it, when they are basically shotgun prayers void of the foundation of private, intimate prayer and praying and holy living. private prayer with God is an essential to set your life up for success with and in the Lord.
Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, get alone, and just like Jesus did, Mark 1:35 that we read a moment ago, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, in other words, seal yourself off, like Jesus did, from all others, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Perhaps that includes publicly. If we want to be publicly used of God, which should not really be the
focus, and yet
when we're out and about, we're public. People can see us. Cameras can be pointed at us. But we don't live for that, to make a show of ourselves. And yet, it's a reality that we're among people. We can be seen of people. In other words, we're in the public. And when our spiritual life in particular, as we're seated together in heavenly places with Christ, according to the book of Ephesians, when we are obeying Him in private prayer, as He's teaching here, there's going to be a great presence of God in our lives. And some have pointed out how Jesus prepared for 30 years for a 3.5-year ministry. And with most of us today, we prepare for 3.5 years for a 30-year ministry. We have it the wrong way. We have it upside down. We have it out of order, perhaps. And that goes down to our days. When we are in private prayer with the Lord early in the morning, as Christ our Savior did, there's going to be a powerful presence of God in our lives that's going to bless our vessels, to so shine before men that they may see the good works of the Father and glorify Him. And that's exactly what it says just a few verses previous to this Matthew 6:6 verse, where Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Matthew 5:16.
So Jesus says, our main verse here, Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, get alone, and seal yourself off from all others. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Spend quality moments in prayer with the Lord, the Father and the Son at His right hand. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Oh, how much more powerful our ministry would be, our ministries in the streets, out among the people, if we dwell more intimately and obediently and daily, absolutely daily, in private prayer with our Lord, as Jesus is instructing right here. Private prayer with the Lord is essential to the disciple. Jesus reveals here that those who seek His face in prayer privately will be used of Him mightily and publicly. Are we sitting at Jesus' feet as did the beloved Mary? Are we living a life of prayer? Have we ever studied the life of Christ and beheld the many instances of His prayer life? Namely, if you want to zero in on it in a specific gospel, that would be Luke, and you can search out the prayer life of Jesus in the gospels, or in Luke particularly, where He got alone with the Father on many occasions. Again, solitary means to enter into an uninhabited place so that you can seek the Lord in private. If we want to assess our true spiritual state with God and whether or not Jesus is truly the first love of our lives, we have to take a look at our prayer life, our life of prayer. And remember, the Bible says Jesus, on record, in Revelation 2, He complimented the Ephesian church, the disciples at the town of Ephesus, on their ability to discern false teachers and to call them out. That was a good thing. But Jesus said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Notice, anybody who has left Jesus as the
first love of our lives, such a person has the idol of self above loving the Savior. having Jesus as the very first priority and love of their life.
It's either one or the other. No man can serve two masters. So remember, therefore, from whence or where thou art fallen. See, they were fallen and in need of repentance. Then he said, and repent, return to the top. Return to the Lord, repent, return to the Most High, and do the first works. That would be evangelism. That would be a prayer life. That would be fellowship in the biblical sense of that word. And do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place. I'll remove my presence and my blessing, except thou repent. Revelation 2, verse 4 and 5. Now somebody might say, wow, that's a harsh statement from Jesus. Well, first of all, it's from Jesus. Second of all, it's the way that he requires that we operate, we repent, so that he can refresh us. Times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord when we repent. Acts 3:19. And so when Jesus is correcting us, as he's doing here, to this body of believers individually and corporately in Ephesus, that's the first step toward victory. He loves us. In fact, he says in his word that whom I love, I will correct. Proverbs 3:12, book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. So he is correcting us because he loves us, not to hurt us, but to help us. And the truth will make us free, but only as we obey it. John 8:31 and 32. The topic of prayerlessness, the sin of prayerlessness, comes to mind as part of this message. Was Jesus saying his own people will not make it through to glory with what's coming on the earth if they do not watch and pray? Well, most certainly that's what he's saying. Jesus says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Is that not what he warned? Yes, he did. Matthew 26:41. Now, what could that mean other than what Christ said? Well, it means exactly what he said. He said we must watch and pray so that ye enter not into temptation. We're all going to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted, yet without sin, according to the book of Hebrews. We're going to be tempted every day, and the only way to overcome is to be watching and praying without ceasing. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the spirit is bolstered and made strong by the Holy Ghost as we pray. We're having communion with the Lord of all victory, the Lord who came and saved us and who we follow, as we pray without ceasing.
Jude verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Notice how we are built up. We're building up ourselves in our most holy faith as we pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20.
All who have been saved and are not praying without ceasing will not make it. There's so many that jump to hear these false teachers telling them that the rapture is coming at a certain date every single fall and leading up to September during the summer months. These false prophets get on their platforms and start lying profusely to people who love lies because they're not walking in the truth. And yet these same people don't have a life of prayer.
And that could only mean because Jesus is not their first love. He's not important to them, regardless of what they profess with their mouths.
They're not living a life of prayer. There's a difference between having a prayer life and living a life of prayer, praying without ceasing, communing with the Lord at all times and perpetually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. And they're not even going to be ready when he comes. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And again, Galatians 6:7-8, our true spiritual state, which is based on our relationship with the Lord, that's the very reason why he came, so that we could know him and the Father, John 17:3, is and can be seen in our life of prayer or lack thereof, our prayerlessness, we could say. God is a hobby at best to them who are not praying without ceasing. Jesus is not their first love, first priority, that is, and the object of their worship. Then that's why Jesus says we must repent, turn back to him. Revelation 2:4-5.
Now, if you are
basing your relationship with the Lord on anything else but his word, you will be deceived, and you will be derailed, and you will be deluded, sent strong delusion, and ultimately experience eternal damnation. Jesus says that his house, his true people, are a house of prayer. Matthew 21:2. Otherwise, a usurper, a thief, a squatter occupies that place. So are you, my friend, praying without ceasing? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I want you to memorize these verses that we are speaking in this whole message. And that's when the Word of God and the life of Christ really begins to kick in, become real to you. When you count the Lord that you claim to serve important enough to literally memorize and meditate on his word. To meditate means simply to mull them over. They will be your spiritual fuel to power you into eternal glory. And the lack thereof will cause there to be a hunger and an empty tank, like the five foolish virgins who did not make it into the eternal bridal chamber with Christ. Matthew 25. So, are we ready today to transition from a life of prayerlessness and to have a life that is a life of prayer, a living life with Christ who is the life? Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that's a memory verse. When you memorize scripture, you're then able to meditate on it day and night. That's what the godly man does. Psalm 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. So it's either Jesus or you reigning on the throne of your heart. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 21:13. And Jesus said unto them, it is written, my house, my people, how are they characterized? Here it is. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Matthew 21:13.
Think about it. It's clear by this statement that Jesus makes in Matthew 21 and John 2 when he cleared out the temple and said that his house was to be a house of prayer, and yet the leaders had made it a den of thieves. And so we know that the modern churches are not teaching what we are reading in the Bible here in these verses, where we learn that we are to pray without ceasing. We're to watch and pray so that we don't enter into temptation, etc. And so why wouldn't today's leaders be teaching about being a house of prayer, where God's people are a house of prayer, not only individually, but when they gather? Well, it could only be one thing, one reason they aren't teaching perpetual or praying without ceasing, and that would be because they have made it a den of thieves, a place for them to make merchandise of the people while they refuse to preach the raw and the whole counsel of God's word.
Changing the direction of our life begins with lifting our heart and hands to the Lord our God. Something good happens every time we do this, with no exception. God created us to worship him and set it all up, all of his creation, for the rush, the blessing, the elation to begin as soon as we look up to our great King, Jesus Christ. Lamentations 3:41. Let us lift up our heart and our hands, both heart and hands, unto God in the heavens. I believe that would include our heads, perhaps. Lifting up our heads, our hearts, and our hands to our Lord. The late Bert Clendenin once said, he who is not a praying man is not a Christian at all. You cannot overcome sin without living a life of prayer. When you're tired, my friend, pray. When you're afraid, pray. When you're anxious, pray. When you're stressed, pray. When you're unsure, pray. And let me add this one. When you're breathing, if you're alive, pray. Get out ahead of the horror of anxiety and heaviness of heart. By what? Rejoicing in the Lord always. Again, he said, rejoice. And to do what? Let your requests be made known unto God. Pray without ceasing. Philippians chapter 4. So, if you're breathing, if you are alive on the earth today, pray. Live a life of prayer. Stay in constant communication with the Lord. Brother John Crane said, how can one grow in grace if they do not spend private time with the Lord, set apart to know the giver of all grace? Even Jesus taught us this in his own example of his life from the first recorded gospel. And as we read earlier, according to and in coincidence with what Brother John just said, Mark 1:35, Jesus went out into a solitary place and there he prayed to the Father. And so if we're following Jesus, that's how we're living our own lives. Sister Karen Cochran said, I lived many years in my flesh and did not spend quality time with the Lord. I had to repent of so much time wasted. I had deep pain for this. Now I never miss a morning of private prayer with the Lord. And it seems now I can't ever get enough. My time is lengthening each day. Hallelujah, Sister Karen Cochran. Andrew Murray said the following. He said, just as water ever seeks and fills the lowest place, so the moment God finds you abased and empty, his glory and power flow in. Amen. Andrew Murray. E.M. Bounds, a pastor of old, he said this, the greatest thing anyone can do for God or man is to pray. It's not the preaching that moves mountains, nor is it our actions that bring the impossible to life. It is the humble heart before God, lifting every concern in prayer that sees miracles happen. For prayer is not just preparation for the battle. It is the battle, unquote. How about one more from E.M. Bounds? He says, the most important lesson we can learn is how to pray. Prayers do not die. Prayers live before God, and God's heart is set on them. Aren't we so blessed today that God hears the prayer of the righteous? I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. 1 Peter 3, verse 12.
Now let us pray, saints. Heavenly Father, we come before you now asking you to forgive us for our sin of prayerlessness and to imbue in the depth of our being the very purpose for which you made us, and that is to know you. And the power of your resurrection, Jesus, and the fellowship of your suffering, to know you. And that would be to commune with you, and we know that to be the basic definition of prayer. The paramount purpose for which you created us is to know you. Teach us to live a life of prayer in its many aspects. Father, do a work in us and teach us to pray as you did with your original 12 apostles and saints of old. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being
reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.